Let's pray together as we begin this time of worship. Heavenly Father, you are holy and you are worthy. Lord, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to trust completely in you and in your word, and what you've done and what you continue to do and what you will do. We thank you for the word of God. Thank you for Joel, and thank you for sharing this powerful message with us today in the early worship and then here in the second as we learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Strengthen us now as we recognize your holiness, for you are the Lord God Almighty, worthy of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing hymn number 3, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Our 10:30 traditional worship. I've already met several guests who are here with us today. We're glad the Lord's led you to First Baptist Church to worship with us today. Take a few minutes, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad you are here today. Good to have you.
I'm working on it. Yes. They stopped at me. Yes.
church. Let's sing that one.
In your church, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In your church, Lord, be glorified today.
Amen. We as the church, the body of Christ, we're a household of faith. Household of God. We've been adopted into the family of God when we trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior. What a joy and what powerful message that is, the message of the gospel, the message of hope. Now we're going to sing a great song of faith as we sing Faith of Our Fathers. Let's remain seated on the first two stanzas and we'll receive our offering on the last.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with thanks in our hearts, Lord, that thankful for a God that loves us, thankful for a God that provides for us, Lord, thankful for all that you do and all that you've done and all that you promised. Lord, we thank you for the joy that we can have this morning in celebration, Lord, of Lord, just glorifying your name and studying your word. And we just pray, Lord, that you increase our faith and increase, Lord, our wisdom of you, and may we just, Lord, serve you as your will and not ours. Lord, we ask this morning that you bless this offering, Lord, that you multiply it for the furtherance of your kingdom and of your word, and in all things may you receive honor and glory. For in the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Thank you.
hearts to hear the word of God proclaimed about Moses. Karen, thank you for playing Go Down Moses for us. And then also, as we think about the Lord's Supper today, the message of the life, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. As we think about that, he is alive. He's worthy of worship. Hope that you'll worship with us as we sing.
Demanded he be crucified.
Jesus' disciples did not understand what was happening right in front of their eyes. They were losing both their friend and Lord.
With cruelty and authority given by Pilate, the soldiers placed a heavy cross upon the back of Jesus.
Struggling up the hill, bearing the weight of his cross, his heart ached for those who did not believe in him.
Hanging on the cross with nails in his feet and in his hands, Jesus looked out and said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing."
After he breathed his last breath, everyone assumed that it was all over. They thought he was gone forever.
Carefully placing his body in a borrowed tomb and sealing it tight, little did anyone know what was to happen next.
Rendered you defeated forever.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, ensemble. So Karen not only is our pianist for our late worship service, but she's also our publications secretary during the week. And so we finished cast of characters, and so I was telling the staff on staff meeting, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to move into Hebrews chapter 11 because there's so many great characters as we finish the cast of characters. There's so many great characters in Hebrews chapter 11 and this powerful chapter that the writer gives us on the power of faith. And so Karen said, all right, when will we get to Moses in Hebrews chapter 11? And so I kind of worked through that, and so I told her, said, all right, I think it's August the 6th. She said, because I'm going to play Go Down Moses. Boy, thank you, Karen. Preparing our hearts for Moses. And that's exactly what we're doing today. And then ensemble, then in this great passage of Scripture, what we're going to see is the transition from Moses in the Old Covenant, who already knew about the Messiah coming in the New Covenant. And then the ensemble, then he is alive as we celebrate then the Lord's Supper. We'll see how all this kind of works together. So as we look at four more situations of what faith produces, we've got to keep in mind the writer's definition. Now, once again, faith is so much more than just what the writer gives us in Hebrews 11, 1, but that's his definition for the body of Christ living in Jerusalem under immense persecution. Literally, they're losing their farm, they're losing their houses, they're losing their families, they're losing many losing their lives. And so under all of this persecution, then the writer of Hebrews gives them this working definition of faith. And then he shows them what that looks like with Noah and Moses and Abraham. And so he says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for, and it is the evidence of what we cannot see. When I was little, growing up, I learned this in the NIV. Now, faith is certain of what we hope for, and it is certain of what we do not see. Faith, then, is what we hope for. What do we hope for? The promises of God. What are the promises of God? Jesus, the Messiah. The gospel, the good news, that is the promise of God. So faith hopes for that, Jesus, the gospel, the good news. And faith then is evidence of what we don't see, the invisible hand of God that you can't see, you can't touch, you can't smell, you can't hear. And so it is the hope of what he promises, and it is evidence of what we do not see. So each of these four acts in this text today produced faith, and that is the assurance of something that is hoped for, namely the promises of God. So hope produces what we're going to see in Hebrews 11, 23 through 28. Hope produces this kind of behavior. So the writer is telling us this is what hope is, and then this is what this hope, the evidence of what you can't see, the promises that you can't see. This is what it looks like in people like Moses. So there's three crisis points in Moses' life. And the point of these verses is that faith, the assurance of the things that we hope for, makes all of the difference in the crisis points of life. After the early worship was over with, young lady came up to me and she said, I am facing the greatest crisis of my life right now, today. I needed to hear that. The Lord might not speak to anybody else today in this early worship or in a few hours when y'all do the late worship. I don't know if he will or not. That's up to him. She said, but I'm in the greatest crisis of my life. I needed to hear that. And here's what she said. My crisis to me is the greatest crisis that I've ever faced. But I cannot even begin to imagine what Moses went through. And the crisis that he faced. And if Moses in that crisis, which was far greater than what I'm going through, although this was pretty big for me, if Moses could trust in the Messiah that had not yet even been born yet, but by faith he trusted in what was to come. If he can do that, then I can trust in the Messiah that's already come for me. Yes. I said, is there any possible way that you can hang out for a little while and preach the second worship service? Not on your life. I'm gone. I'm out of here. She went and got in her car and left me hanging to tell the story. All right. So that's the whole point of today. That's the whole point of this story. Look with me at Hebrews 11, 23 through 28. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of the Messiah, for the sake of Christ. Now, granted, the Christ hadn't even been born yet, but he thought it was better to go ahead and suffer now for the sake of what is to come, the Messiah, than to own the treasures of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. So the crisis of faith that Moses parents went through was the fact, you recall, in Egypt, the king said there's way too many Jewish males being born. So he ushered out a decree that all the Jewish males that are born should be killed. So there were two commands by the king. One was against the babies, and one was against those who were trying to save the babies. If you kill the baby, you save your life. If you don't kill the baby, then you put your own life at risk. So when Moses' parents decided that they were not going to drown their baby, Moses, in the Nile River, but instead hide him, they risked their own lives. They looked fear in the face and said, "We will not kill our son out of fear, but rather we will have faith." So fear, which is the exact opposite of faith, fear is not going to control us. Fear is not going to make decisions for us. Now, the rest of the parents killed their babies. They killed their firstborn males because fear controlled them. So we have this exact opposite. The parents of Moses who decided faith, the parents of all of the other male babies that decided fear. Fear was not going to control them. Now jump over the second act, and we'll get back to that in just a moment, to the third act in verse 27. What we see in verse 27 is 40 years later, a situation that Moses faced very similar to his parents. According to Exodus chapter 2, Moses began to identify himself with his Jewish brothers and sisters, and he became indignant at the slavery of the Hebrews with the Egyptians. So he saw an Egyptian beating one of the his Jewish brother, slave, and Moses was furious. He intervened. He killed that Egyptian. He thought it was done in secret. Nobody was going to tell, but he found out the next day that, oh, word has gotten around. So he knew Pharaoh was going to try to kill him, so he fled. Verse 27, it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going. Because why? He kept his eyes on the one who was and is invisible. Let's go back to the second crisis. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to endure all of the ill treatment that he was going to have to endure by being identified with the people of God. And so he endured that in order not to take the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of the Messiah greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now remember, Moses is the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses has had everything that he's ever wanted in life at the snap of a finger. He's got it all. Everything. Everything that your heart could possibly ever desire or want at the snap of a finger, his entire life. And now he chooses, I'm no longer going to live for the fleeting pleasures of sin at the snap of my finger. Instead, I'm going to identify with these slaves, my brothers and sisters. So the bridges were burned between Moses and Egypt long before he was threatened by Pharaoh. They were burned in his heart. They were burned by faith. That's what faith does all throughout this chapter. So faith is a hunger for God that triumphs over our hunger for the fleeting pleasures of this world. And so that's what leads us today to the Lord's Supper. By faith in God and what the Father has done for us and what the Father has given to us in the gospel, in His Son, the body and blood of Christ, we have that faith in Jesus. So faith today, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, is a hunger for God the Father, for what He has given to us in Jesus, the gospel, as opposed to the fleeting pleasures of this world. So in just a moment, we're going to hold a little piece of bread in our hand. We're going to hold a cup of juice in our hand. And as we always do when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I just want to give you one little simple thing to run in your mind. I was telling the early worship this morning, when I was a little boy, I'm sure that they were diagnosing ADD back then, but nobody knew about it really. But if they would have really been diagnosing ADD, then they would have taken a picture of me, and they would have taken, and when they were diagnosing ADD, you say, oh, this is it. This is what it looks like. All they knew at that point was just to say, what is wrong with him? I think Janice is still saying, what is wrong? What is wrong with you? So with my ADD mind, if I don't have something to hold on to, if this mind of mine doesn't have something that I can grab and hold on to, I'll start thinking about everything under the sun. I'll start thinking about, while we're celebrating the Lord's Supper, all right, where did we go to lunch last Sunday? Let's see. I think we went. So today, I'll be thinking about what I got to do tonight. I'll be thinking about what I got to do this week. And my mind will just, blah, 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 will be everywhere all over the map. So I need something. I don't know if this helps you or not, but every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I need something so that my mind can focus. So today, we're just going to focus on the beauty of faith. And so when you hold that little piece of bread in your hand, that little cup of juice in your hand, I just want you to say, Lord, today, by faith, I hunger and I thirst for you, not the fleeting pleasures of this world. I'm hungering today, I'm thirsting today for you, just like Moses, rather than the fleeting, and they are, the fleeting pleasures of sin. Father, thank you for a great word today through Moses. Then Moses looking forward to the Messiah. Well, now we look back. Moses was looking forward to the Messiah by faith. We look back by faith to the Messiah. The Messiah is everything. Jesus, the gospel, the good news is our everything. We're thankful today that we can celebrate that which has been given to us in Jesus. As we hold this little piece of bread and cup of juice in our hand, Father, just help us to focus our hearts on our hunger for you rather than our hunger for this world. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our deacons, if you'll come, we'll celebrate together the Lord's Supper. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he met to celebrate the Passover meal with his disciples. And in that Passover meal, Jesus then took bread, blessed it, gave it to his disciples, the new covenant that would be found in his body. Jesus, we thank you so much for your body hanging on that tree in our place. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the love that has been given to us that is found only in Jesus, our substitute for our sin. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my body which is given for you. Take and eat." He then took the cup, blessed it, gave it to his disciples. Father, thank you for the cup of blessing. The blood that was shed for us to cover our sin. Our words are so inadequate, Father. So look in our heart. Know the love that we have for you and what you've given to us in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. Take and drink." The invitation that we're going to sing is "Just As I Am." What a great word for the invitation. If you do not know Jesus, if you do not know Him as your Savior and Lord, then we encourage you today, trust Christ. Put your faith and your trust in Him. If you need to come and join our church, if you need to come and pray, whatever the Lord leads your heart to do, making this decision in your life, then we encourage you to do that now as you stand and as we sing. Please be seated for just a moment. We've got a lot of things coming up that we need to look at real quickly. What do we got first, Will? I love it when he does that. All right, Ken.
So tonight at 6 o'clock, the Gunnersville First Baptist Pickers will be playing. So if you're not familiar with them, bluegrass gospel music. It's made up of people. Most of the people are from our church. It's going to be at 6 o'clock. It'll be... Tim's got a new comedy song. I don't think you want to miss it. And we've got lots of new material tonight. And so 6 o'clock, it would really be very encouraging to us if you came and were a part of it. Also, invite some folks to come with you. 6 o'clock, free admission tonight.
Is tonight come as you're dressed as your favorite picker? Is that we're supposed to come dressed as our favorite picker? That would be good. All right, what do we got next? All right, so... our music minister is a new granddad. So our minister music has two daughters and then a granddaughter. And now all of a sudden, you've got a little boy in the family. So Morgan and Jonathan, we're having a sprinkle for them next Sunday. It'll be from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the fellowship hall. So that's next Sunday afternoon, celebrating John and Morgan and Reggie. So... come and be a part of that. All right, next. Before we show the video, can you turn off the lights? You know how to turn, there you go. All right, so when we started this renovation, for those of you that are guests of ours, all of the, not yet, Paul. All, thank you. He's trouble. All right, so all of the carpet and all the pew cushions are brand new. So when we started this renovation, we were in staff meeting, and Paul kind of is our tech guy. And I said, "Paul, can you go in about every day or so and take pictures of all that's going to happen? And then at the end, we'll kind of see the pictures." Well, Paul always takes whatever I ask him, and he then magnifies it and takes it to a whole new level. And so that's what he's done, and he's put together a video of what we've gone through over the past 5-6 weeks of this renovation of our sanctuary. And so there's two versions of this video. There is the edited version, and then there's the unedited version. You're going to see today the edited version of this. The unedited version makes the preacher of this church look really, really bad. So we're not going to show it. So let's show this version right here. So thank you to Paul for putting all of that together and kind of running that through. So you kind of got to see from the start to finish when they took out everything, put it all back in. So we're thankful to be back in our sanctuary. All right, so we got kitchen renovations that will start in about a week. And so because of that, we're going to push suppers for Wednesday night suppers until August the 30th. So keep that in mind. Also, our mature adults are going to postpone their salad and homemade ice cream event, and they will do that at a later time whenever the kitchen and all of the fellowship hall gets done. So keep that in mind. September the 10th, starting a new Sunday school class led by Kevin and Amy Hawk. It's a young couples and young singles Sunday school class, so we'll be communicating with you more about that as we get to the September the 10th. All right, so let's all stand and close by singing Victory in Jesus.